Hello, hello, and welcome to episode 3 of the Guru Mojo podcast, where it is my goal to bring you tiny little bits of information that I have found to be helpful on my path to living the best version of my life. And that's what I do. I sift through it like I'm at the beach looking for shark's teeth. I'm sifting through the sand and I'm finding weird looking shells and just finding broken stuff and a piece of sea glass and there's a shark's tooth. I found it. Look, check it out. Look how cool it is. I do like having shark's teeth though. But anyway, this episode is not brought to you by the Headspace app. Once again, I love it so much that I wanted to tell you all about it. Headspace is meditation made simple. I use it almost every day, and I encourage everyone to download the free app and take advantage of the free trial and meditate for 10 days, 10 minutes a day. They don't even take a credit card. You just download the app and try it out. Consider it a 10-day meditation challenge. As they say on their website, at headspace.com, brilliant things happen in calm minds. Learn to meditate and live mindfully. They offer hundreds of themed sessions on everything from stress to sleep. Bite-sized meditations for busy schedules and SOS exercises in case of sudden meltdowns. And who doesn't need that anyway? I'm melting. Check it out. Headspace app. I highly recommend it. Also, under recommendations, I've been listening to a new podcast. Well, new to me. It's Zach Leary's It's All Happening podcast. And from the podcast, it says, It's All Happening is a podcast. It's the brainchild of Zach Leary, a reasonably intelligent, disruptive, and sometimes wise and funny guy who lives in Los Angeles. Initially, the idea was to merge Zach's passion for seeking meaning using the spiritual heart with his love of technology's influence on human evolution. Over time, that has stayed a common thread, but there have also been many profound discussions on topics ranging from rock and roll to relationships to race relations and politics. If you like to learn, laugh, grow, and even get vulnerable, this is the podcast for you. I've just listened to a few episodes, but I'm hooked. This guy's really speaking my language. A quick rundown of guests that have caught my eye include two of my all-time favorite people ever, visionary artists, Alex and Allison Gray. I saw them on two podcasts. I'm listening to one now. There's Duncan Trussell. He appears on at least 3 episodes. Check out Duncan's Family Values podcast if you dare. There's also highly influential meditation teacher and author Jack Cornfield, he's a different guy, also worth checking out. He's also got Robert Thurman, author, the head of Tibet House NYC, and Sharon Salzberg, the author and meditation teacher. You kind of see where this is going. Speaking my language. Check it out. Zach Leary, It's All Happening podcast. Now I'd like to share with you something amazing that I experienced recently. I mentioned in a blog post a little while back that I was interested in trying sensory deprivation. And my amazing wife, Ava, gave me a gift certificate to try it out. So I went just last Sunday. And if you're not familiar, it's referred to as floating or float therapy. You go into a large tank where you can experience full sensory deprivation. The tanks look like giant futuristic eggs. You're floating in about 10 inches of highly concentrated salt water that is warmed to body temperature. You step inside, you lie on your back, and you effortlessly float. Seriously. It's about 850 pounds of Epsom salt in 10 inches of water. It is more buoyant than the Dead Sea. And you eventually don't feel the water because it's body temperature. You get it? Yeah, you close the lid and you block out light and sound and you're there. Many people say that you have an incredible psychedelic experience. I've read that while in sensory deprivation, your brain has a chance to relax from its normal fight or flight mode that it's always in, so that cortisol is reduced in the body. And then since there's no stimuli, the brain creates its own with, and I'll quote from a website, swirling nebula, gorillas on surfboards, and frolicking Labradors, all being reported by their clients. That's something. Frolicking Labradors and gorillas on surfboards. Sign me up. You had me at swirling nebula. But anyway, Joe Rogan is a big proponent of float tanks. He has one in his home and he talks about it all the time on his podcast, The Joe Rogan Experience, which is totally worth checking out as well. In fact, you should stop what you're doing. Stop this podcast right now and listen to every single Joe Rogan podcast real quick and then come back. I'll be here. JK. So I went down to H2Ohm Float in Jacksonville. H2Ohm Float. If you're in Jacksonville, check them out. Veronica was very helpful in showing me how everything worked. I got a little tour. That closed the lid, turn off the light. It was so cool. My expectation going in, my expectation was that since I am a reasonably experienced meditator with a daily practice, that I should go in there and lay back and instantly shoot off into some psychedelic mind space and travel through time and travel through space and commune with aliens and see what my face looked like before my parents were born and, you know, that, you know, the normal stuff, what people expect, I guess. My experience was totally different, though. It was hard. It was really challenging. It took a while to adjust. Yeah, it wasn't completely silent. You're wearing silicone earplugs to keep the water out. And what I could hear was my own breath. Try that for a second. Put the palms of your hands over your ears and take a few breaths. I'll wait. Don't do it if you're driving. Okay. Anyway, as it turned out, I was more aware of my body than I had ever been in meditation before. There it was. I thought it would be the opposite. It was much more difficult. My arms were floating weird. It's like one of them was floating like palm up and one was floating palm down. I was just trying to relax and it just kind of felt unnatural. I would kind of get sore and like need to stretch and stuff. I had also read before going in not to touch your face or your eyes because you have all this salt water and you will get salt water in your eyes. That's bad, right? So instantly you lay back and all you can think about is how much you need to scratch your eyes and your nose. And if you just anything up there, you're just salt water and then you have to pause. And there's a little like fresh water, like spray bottle and a towel close by, but you don't want to have to. You don't know how that's going to work. You don't want salt in your eyes ever, especially if you're trying to meditate. So my right arm started cramping up. Not a horrible cramp, but it was like stiff and a little bit sore, trying to float all weird. And my thumb on my right hand started like pressing into my hand, like kind of like forcefully, like it was trying to cramp up. I just was like, what is going on here? it was crazy. Eventually, I settled down and had some very calm moments. Like, seriously, like, deeply meditative, but nothing out of the ordinary. Just regular, deeply meditative. Then my arms starting act, my arms started acting up again. Like, did some more stretching. Seriously, several times wanted to get out. Not because I was claustrophobic, which some people, like, should not probably try it for that reason. But I just was frustrated and was like, yeah, I could just stop right now and be okay. But I knew I had the session. It's an hour. It's plenty of time. I could push through and just get through it and see what happens. So I decided that what was happening was that my body was rebelling against me, trying to ignore the fact that I had one. And just as I thought that, my lower lip started quivering uncontrollably. It was so weird. I was like, what is happening? The lower lip going crazy. My arms cramping up. I just felt totally uncomfortable. I decided that I needed to pay attention to my body. Rather, that my body needed my attention. Like a toddler when the adults are talking and she feels ignored. Yeah, they stomp around, they make noise to get your attention. Pay attention to me. Ah! It was just like that. So, focused on my body for a while, and it settled down. And since it was an hour, I felt like I had plenty of time. It was okay. Finally, last 10 minutes or so, I actually did get some of those awesome kaleidoscopic colors. Actually did travel through time and space for a moment. It was really amazing. It was super awesome. I cannot wait to go back. I can definitely see the benefit of having to do it multiple times. It's not just hop in there and off you go. Kind of got to get used to it. Chatting with Veronica for a few minutes afterwards, she was, again, very helpful. I told her how challenging it was versus my expectations going in. And she told me that it does take several sessions to acclimate, and that she hears a similar story from almost all the experienced meditators that come in there for the first time. They do get a wide range of clients going in there to float for different reasons. It's a form of physical therapy as well, just being able to relax the body while floating. There's athletes, Jacksonville Jaguars come in there to float. So not everybody goes in there meditating, interestingly enough. So thanks again to Veronica and the whole team at H2O Float in Jacksonville, Florida. Seriously cannot wait to go back. I've got 2 floats left on my gift certificate, and I will be using them up and then getting some more. I will definitely keep you posted if anything interesting happens. Somewhat related to that, I would like to talk about my vision for the future of meditation. I'll mostly be reading from a blog post I wrote at gurumojo.com back on February 17th, 2017, titled "The Vision: A Meditation Cafe Next Door to Every Starbucks." Reading from the blog. This will happen. It is inevitable. Meditation cafes will spring up all over the place as the world catches on. Now picture this. Emma is a busy professional. She is an attorney in New York City, the financial district. She works about 1 million hours a week at some big-time law firm. Despite that, she takes really good care of herself. She hits the gym every morning, eats healthy, and manages to get enough sleep. During the course of a typical day, Emma will grab a smoothie on the way to work from the gym, meet with clients, meet with the partners of the law firm, you know, lawyery stuff. Then she breaks for lunch, grabs a quick wrap at the corner deli, hits up Starbucks for a latte, and dips into the meditation spot next door for a quick 20-minute sesh to clear her head before heading back to the office. What? Like I said, this will happen. I imagine that meditation cafes will look like day spas, sleek and modern, where the receptionist to greet you, Would you like a bottle of water? You'll be shown to a small private meditation room, large enough for a comfortable chair or a cushion on the floor. The room is soundproof, and you'll have access to a tablet that allows you to set a timer and control the lighting. You can pull up audio programming like guided meditations, soothing music, nature sounds. You'll do your thing and leave refreshed and ready for whatever the world wants to throw at you. There are already float centers all across the country, like the one I just visited, as well as wellness centers that offer meditation retreats. The retreats are usually for a weekend or 5 to 7 days, some even longer. And I'm looking forward to having that experience someday as well. But my vision is more of a happy medium between the two, the day spa version of the meditation retreat. I'd like to see those futuristic egg-shaped tanks turned upright without the water for a seated meditation. As it is, the float sessions take more time, which makes sense because they offer a much deeper experience, but you have to shower before and after floating. The meditation centers I envision would include one or two of the sensory deprivation tanks for extended sessions, in addition to the main meditation pods. The idea is to be able to pop in and out quickly, getting your fix on a lunch break or on your way to or from work. There would also be a separate studio where guided group meditations could be led by an instructor. And that's really my vision with Guru Mojo. I wanted to create the meditation centers of the future. Unless they already exist and I just haven't found them yet. If they're out there, you let me know. I'm looking. For this to work, meditation will have to be as popular as going to the gym. And it's getting there. It's on the rise. And that's where I come in. My goal is to introduce as many people as possible to the practice in a way that convinces them to try it for themselves. Meditation is vital. Meditation is for everyone, and I've got the rest of my life to keep saying it. I don't even know how to stop. Why would I? You can follow me on Instagram and Twitter at GuruMojoMe and on Facebook.com/GuruMojo. I'd like to close with a quote from Thich Nhat Hanh. A meditator is both an artist and a warrior. Think about that. Thank you again for taking the time to check this out. Be well, be kind, and don't forget to breathe. Looking for shark's teeth. I'm just going to go to the house.